Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. Have you ever read a verse of Scripture that carried a fairly conventional interpretation? Such is the case with 1 Corinthians 2:9.
1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him."
Now, there are times when a verse is misquoted and handed down from one generation to the next with a traditional interpretation. That's the case with those who believe this verse is referring to heaven or other things that God is keeping back from us. But that's simply not the case. The folks who subscribe to this interpretation feel that heaven is a place which the average person cannot conceive of. They think it's beyond our ability to comprehend. While it's true that none of us have ever experienced this sort of majesty, it's also true that the scriptures speak in amazing detail about what heaven will be like. I don't know about you, but I have a pretty vivid imagination, especially when the word talks about streets of gold. I mean, I can visualize Dorothy walking down the yellow brick road in the Wizard of Oz. Then I can surely imagine Harold and Bev Herring walking humbly down the streets of gold. Hallelujah.
Gold so refined, it's clear, they say.
There are some who believe that 1 Corinthians 2:9 is referring to the fact that the average believer cannot imagine what God has placed in his word for each of us. They think that our finite brains cannot comprehend and thus manifest all the promises of God. There are a number of scriptures which I could share to disprove this interpretation. One of them, honey, is Acts 17:11.
In Acts 17:11, it says, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in which they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so."
How can you know the promises of God? It's simple. The Bible says to search the scriptures daily. How are they open beyond the natural mind?
Well, 1 Corinthians 2:10 says, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10, "But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." And let's look at another one in translation of 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, this in the Classic Amplified Bible, it says it this way, "But on the contrary, as the Scripture says, what eye has not seen and ear has not heard and has not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared, made and kept ready for those who love him, who hold him in affectionate reverence, promptly obeying him and gratefully recognizing the benefits he has bestowed."
You know, the scripture is clear. God has benefits for us now. The scripture says that he's keeping them ready. If he has benefits ready for us, then why isn't he releasing them to us now? The word says that he will release them to those who love him, who hold him in affectionate reverence, promptly obeying him, and gratefully recognizing the benefits he has bestowed. We must love God with all our heart.
Like it says in Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 and 5, Deuteronomy 6, 4 and 5 in the Classic Amplified, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one Lord, the only Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your mind and heart and with your entire being and with all your might."
If we're not obeying God, then we'll find it difficult to receive the benefits that he's bestowed on us. If he's bestowed them, it means they're ready for us. We just have to claim them. Have you ever visited an unclaimed freight business warehouse? You'll find many wonderful things that are now for sale at a reduced price because someone didn't claim or was ready for them to pick up. You and I have amazing benefits. They're ours as the children of the Most High God and heirs of the promises of Abraham.
Psalm 103. I quote Psalm 103 for us every day. But Psalm 103 verse 2 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." You could really personalize that, honey.
Yes, you could.
"Bless the Lord, O my soul, and let Ruth not forget all his benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and let not Maya, Yvette, Lejeune, Diane, Pam, so many, forget not all his benefits." The Message Bible says that we're not to forget a single blessing. The Hebrew word for benefits is the same word for recompense in Proverbs 12:14. Proverbs 12, verse 14 says, "A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands shall be rendered unto him." And from, it says in Proverbs 12:14 in the Classic Amplified, it brings even greater clarity because it's amplifying it.
That's true.
"From the fruit of his words, a man shall be satisfied with good, and the work of a man's hands shall bring back to him as a harvest." Wow.
The word that we speak will bring a harvest of blessing in our lives. It's also, honey, it's also interesting to note the Hebrew word for benefits is found in Psalm 103:2. And it's the same word that's used for given in Proverbs 19:17. Proverbs 19:17, that says, "He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given, he will repay him again."
Hallelujah. You know, in that verse, honey, it says, we see two very important things about giving to the poor. First, a gift to the poor is actually a loan to God. You know, everybody has tough spots that they need to get out,
yes,
and then they get, you know, things just don't go well. They go the way of the enemy until God comes through, right? And the second thing is God promises to pay you back the money you give to the poor. So it always pays to give to those who are in need. Isn't it just like the Lord to put up his own good name for those who have no assets? So let's look at Proverbs 19:17 once again. Proverbs 19:17 says, He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. He, that's you and me,
that's us,
we are the he. And the word pity, according to the Strong's Concordance, may not be the way that we look at it in the natural, in our society, but this is what it says in Strong's Concordance in the biblical meaning: to be gracious, to show favor, and to pity. Pity is defined in dictionary.com as sympathetic or kindly sorrow evoked by the suffering and the distress or the misfortune of another, often leading one to give relief or aid or to show mercy. So pity is much more than feeling sorry for somebody. Pity is more than just a mental thought process. Spiritual, scriptural pity requires action on your part. It may bring a tear to your eye because you just hate to see somebody going through something, but scriptural pity will make you get up off that chair, take out your checkbook, you know, and do something that will help somebody else. The scripture says that we should take action to give relief to those who need it. And in Proverbs 19:17 in the New Living Translation, it says, "If you help the poor, you're lending to the Lord and he will repay you." Notice the first word in the scripture. It says, "if." Okay, by saying "if," the scripture is indicating you have a choice. You can either choose to help somebody or not help somebody. So according to Strong's Concordance, the word "poor" means low and weak, and it is from the same root word, honey, that means being in distress.
Hmm.
And we know what it's like to be in distress.
That's
the word "poor" means different things to different people.
You know, honey, some people consider themselves poor when they eat Spam. While others would consider, well, others would give anything for the crust of even stale bread.
Think about it.
Some people consider themselves poor when they have to wear the same dress to church Sunday after Sunday. while others don't have a church to attend or much less a dress to wear. Some consider themselves poor when they have to drive a car that looks like a refugee from a junkyard salvage lot, while others would give anything not to have to walk through adverse weather in dangerous locations. Some people consider themselves poor when they live in a home without air conditioning or heat, while others consider themselves poor when their home is made out of dried mud and cardboard. Some consider themselves poor when they don't have money left over to invest after paying all their monthly bills, while others consider themselves poor when they have no money to pay bills at all. Regardless of our definition of being poor or living in distress, the point is that the word of the Lord says that we're to take action on behalf of the poor, those living in distress. After reading the two scriptures in Proverbs, we believe it's possible to sum up this entire teaching in one paragraph. The scriptures Scripture is tying giving to a harvest of blessing in our lives, which is part of the benefits we receive for loving, reverencing, and obeying God's divine directions as revealed in His Word. While beyond the comprehension of our natural senses is still available to us because we search the Word daily with the Holy Spirit's guidance. Praise God for the benefits that He's designed for us. And praise God that we are gaining the revelation how to walk more fully in those benefits.
That's right.
And that's extremely important. See, it's kind of like you can have a brand new Audi A8 sitting in your garage, which would be a wonderful thing. But if you went out and sat in that Audi A8, you could smell the leather. You could see all the gadgets. But none of those gadgets would work. The car wouldn't crank up to return the switch on. See, you can know some of the promises of God, but you got to take action, as the scripture told us and admonished us today.
And what you're doing is putting the principles of God to work in your life.
That's exactly right.
And then you receive the harvest that God promised as a result of practicing those principles. So it's called working the word.
That's it.
Pressing the word.
Yes, it is. And it's a matter of taking action.
Yes.
Not thinking about it, not talking about it, but doing it.
Faith without works.
That's it.
Dead.
Hallelujah. If you've been blessed by the teaching, go to haroldherring.com. At the top where it says sow a seed, just ask God what seed He'd have you sow. Do what He says. That's all we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye. And have a fantastic Friday.
Amen.